You are listening to the Mid-Current Church Podcast. Today's message is week one of our new series, All I Want for Christmas, the only wish list you'll ever need. For more information and to visit us online, go to midcurrentchurch.org. And now, here's Pastor Sten Carlson with today's message.
Tucked in the very back corner of my closet, truthfully never really having seen the light of day, is my floor-length, kind of robe-like sash that pastors get when they're ordained. It's actually called a stole. How many of you would like to see me wear that someday? Okay, a few hands going up. I thought that might be the case. That's actually never going to happen. It's been hanging in the same spot in the back of my closet since the day I received it. I have no plans as of yet to reveal it to the world anytime soon. But hanging next to it, in the back dark corner of my closet, is a hoodie, a sweatshirt that I received just 2 years ago. And it's not tucked back there in the corner collecting residual dust from my stole. It's not back there intentionally, because I, don't like it or something. I actually, do like it. It's not back there because I'd be, feel funny wearing it in public. It's not some ugly wool sweater that I got from, a great aunt or something. I really do like it. I asked for it specifically, the exact style and the exact size. And when I opened it on Christmas morning a few years ago, I was excited. And I thought, yes, this was the sweatshirt that I wanted. And yet I'm embarrassed to admit, honestly, that 2 years later now, I have not worn it one single time. Tags are still on it. Okay, each time I go into my closet, I think about it, and then ultimately I reach past it for something else. And so little by little, then it just gets kind of shuffled into the back corner of my closet next to my, my priestly vestments. Okay. And at a certain point, then it's just out of sight, out of mind. This kind of thing is crazy, right? I mean, I wanted this thing and then I got it, and then I've never worn it once. Do any of you have any gifts in your home like this? Right, that you got it, and you've never really used it. Maybe it's the wedding present that you never opened from your wedding like 15 years ago. Maybe it's the gift from some relative that you never really even asked for. Maybe you two have a pile of toys in your garage or your basement that your toys your kids just had to have, and then they played with it like once and then never played with it ever again. Okay, to me, this is like what it typically happens at Christmas. Most of us have spent a few months putting together, very carefully, our kids especially, put together our Christmas lists. And every year, let's be honest, we get what we want for the most part. I mean, we get what we want. Every year, in fact, when we draw names with my wife's family for Christmas, and then we all pass our Christmas lists to each other, which just consists mostly of very specific Amazon links and other online links to the things that we want, the exact things, the style, the size, the color, the brand, the whole deal. And so there's very few surprises. Most years, you get exactly what you asked for. Nothing less, nothing more. And to me, this is just kind of, this is true for all of us. We have Christmas lists like this, Christmas lists a mile long of all the things that we want. And if there's something that's not on the list, we'd probably just go buy it for ourselves anyway, which means that one way or another, every year at Christmas, we do get what we want. And yet, what I think is true, we get the things that we want, and yet I would still say too many of us feel unfulfilled, right? Inevitably, something still feels off, right? Nothing ever lives up to its expectations. Christmas comes and Christmas goes, and rarely do all of the gifts that we wanted, that we asked for, and that we got, rarely do all of the gifts make a difference. Rarely did they fill the void in our life that we were hoping that they would. Unfortunately, in my opinion, it's all too common a story for you and for me. We get what we want, but ultimately nothing really changes. And so I can't help but wonder, what if this year was different, right? What if we made a list this year of some of the things that we really needed, things that can't be purchased in a store or on Amazon or online somewhere, right? Things that we can't necessarily even gift to each other or exchange, right? And I'm not anti-Christmas presents. It can be a whole lot of fun to give and to receive. I just think that there's a few things that if we got them, if we received them this year, that they would truly make our lives merry and bright all year. And because of that, we're kicking off a brand new message series today for the rest of the month called All I Want for Christmas, where I want to share with you what I believe to be the only Christmas wish list that you will ever need. And the first item on that list, right, if I'm going to share with you the wish list that I think it's the only one you'll ever need, the first item on that list I want to share with you today, it's not a hoodie, it's not a sweatshirt, it's not an iPhone. It's not a brand new car with a big red bow on the top. Although if my wife is listening, I will not object if one of those shows up in my driveway this Christmas, okay? But it's not any of those things, okay? The first gift that I think needs to be on the only wish list we ever create, it's something that I think every one of us wants. I think it's something that all of us long for, but that very few of us or just fewer of us actually find. What am I referring to? I think it's purpose. Right? Isn't this what we all want to know deep down inside? God, what is my purpose? I actually did a little experiment this week. I went to Google and I started typing into the search box, God, what is my purpose? And I got two words in, God, what? And here were the results that started to populate the search suggestions. Number one, God, what should I do? Number two, God, what the heck? 100 devotionals for when life sucks. I'm like, my job is done for January. I got the message series right there, okay? Number three then, God, look at this. God, what is my purpose? Okay? And so then here's what I did. I started to type, not even the next, I got the next letter of the next word of this phrase, God, what? And I just got the I of is, and a whole new set of search results populated the suggested search box. Look, here's number right at the top. God, what is my purpose? God, what is your plan for me? Number three, an outlier. God, what is wrong with me? I'm not sure I can answer that for all of you in the time that I have allotted today. So I'm gonna skip to the next one that gets us back on track. Number four was more specific. God, what is my purpose in life? God, what is my calling? God, what is your will for me? It would seem that people everywhere want to know, what is the purpose? What is my purpose in life? What am I here for? What am I truly called to do? What is this life really about for me? And I would suggest to you that finding our purpose, if we were to do this, I would suggest that finding our purpose is really one of the best gifts that we could receive this Christmas. If you and I lived our life with more purpose and with more vision and with a clearer target on the wall, I think that our lives would be a whole lot more merry and bright all year long. I'm not saying that our lives would be perfect. I'm not saying that our lives would be problem-free. But I do think that we would have far fewer days wondering. When our head hits the pillow, I think we'd have far fewer days wondering, did I win or lose today? Did I move the ball down the field today or not? Did I make a difference? Did what I do matter today? Did I live into who it is that God created me to be? I think we'd have far fewer days wondering, did I make it happen today? No one likes that feeling. Right? No one likes the feeling of not knowing whether or not you hit the mark. And I think the only way to know is to know your purpose in life. And so, the million-dollar question today then is this: where do I, or how do I find purpose? If there is any part of you, even just the smallest part, if there's any part of you that would like to know the answer to that question, how do I find my purpose, then I'm really glad you're here today, because I'm going to hopefully show you where to start and how you begin to answer that question. To do so, we are going to turn to God's word and to the story of a man who lived his life on purpose, with purpose every single day. In fact, aside from Jesus, this is one man who maybe lived with as much purpose and as much calling on his life as anyone. His name is Paul. We refer to him as the Apostle Paul in the church world. He's one of the first ever church leaders in the early church. He planted churches all over the Mediterranean world, and he's the author of about half of the books in the New Testament that we have today. And he acknowledges himself in one of the letters that he authored. He acknowledges the purpose that he has. Look at what he writes in 1 Corinthians. He says, "So I run with purpose in every step. I'm not just shadow boxing." He's saying, I'm not just going about this aimlessly. I'm not just going like, well, you know, we'll see how today goes. He's going, I'm not just shooting arrows in the dark. The dude was on a crystal clear mission. A mission that would ultimately include three missionary journeys by land and by sea, through storms and through shipwrecks and through imprisonment, all to fulfill what it is that God called him to. And so the question is, man, how did he do this? The question is, where did he and how did he get this kind of clarity in his life? How did he receive these marching orders of his? How in the world was his purpose revealed to him? That's what I want to reveal to you today, because I think there's something for us to learn from it, okay? It's the moment that preceded his very first missionary journey that he ever took, and it's a moment recorded in the book of Acts chapter 13, and I want to show it to you today. Here's what it says. It says this: "Now in the church at Antioch, there were prophets and teachers. There was Barnabas, there was Simeon called Niger, there was Lucius of Cyrene, there was Manon, and there was Saul," which was Paul's original name that's just kind of used interchangeably here throughout the book of Acts. And here's verse 2. And I don't want you to miss this. Don't skip over this. Don't read over this too fast. Don't let it pass by without taking notice. Here's what it says, verse 2. "While they were worshiping the Lord," singing, praying, doing other things included in our worship, "while they were worshiping the Lord and fasting," which is just a spiritual practice used to kind of clear distractions from our mind to hear more closely from God, okay? "While they were worshiping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said in that moment, 'Set apart for me Barnabas and Saul,'" that's Paul, "'set apart for me Barnabas and Paul for the work to which I have called them.'" Okay, at this point, I want us to get the order of all this stuff properly. At this point, Paul has done nothing really. No journeys, no new churches, he's not endured shipwrecks and the whole deal, nothing, right? But this is what started all of that. This moment is what set that journey, is what set that race into motion, the race that he says himself he runs with purpose. So do not miss what's going on here, what it is that set that mission into motion. God's Spirit handed out that assignment, those marching orders, after, or at the very least, right in the middle of their worship and their prayer and their fasting. Okay, Midcurrent, here's what I would like you to understand today. If you're trying to figure out what assignment God has maybe handed out to you, if you're trying to figure out what maybe purpose God has called you to, here's what I want you to understand from this. Purpose in life is most often revealed in the pursuit of God. They worshiped. They fasted. God spoke. Right? Purpose in life, in your life, and in mine, it is most often revealed in the pursuit of God. And so if you're here today, wondering, how do I find purpose? I would tell you, don't search for it, search for God. Right? Spend time in the presence of God, in worship or in prayer, right? Or in fasting, right? Search after the heart of God in scripture and in, a community of Jesus loving people. Challenge yourself to learn more about the things that God cares about and the people and the places that God cares about. Learn what it is that breaks the heart of God. Because here's the thing. I think that when you discover that what breaks God's heart also breaks your heart, you might just be on the doorstep of discovering what it is that God has called you to, right? Right on the doorstep of discovering what your purpose might be. See, my heart, for example, my heart breaks. If we're trying to pay attention to what breaks God's heart and what breaks our heart, my heart breaks when people get the wrong idea about God or about Jesus or about church. That when they get the wrong idea that they have to be perfect or polished or all put together, or that church is just for church people and perfect people, right? Or when people think that Christians, that Jesus followers are just like weird and strange and odd and naive and weak. And this especially goes for men. I hate the picture that men have in the world today that you can't be a real dude with a real heart for God. Somehow, I don't know how, somehow these two concepts have become like mutually exclusive ideas. And so as a result, that breaks my heart. And I think it breaks the heart of God too. And so as a result, I have determined that I'm going to make it my priority. As long as I walk this planet, it's going to be my priority to set a different example that you can be a real dude, that you can be a real, normal, everyday person and still have a real, genuine heart for God. My purpose, right, based on what it is that I know breaks my heart and I think breaks the heart of God too, my purpose is to demonstrate that and model that as often as I can. Now, you might be saying, well, easy for you. You're a pastor. Right, you have a job where you get to do that every day. But here's what I want to make very, very clear to you. I want to make it very clear that while it can be leveraged in my profession as a pastor, it does not depend on it. I think this concept, maybe more than anything, is I want you to understand today, okay? My purpose, it certainly can be leveraged in my profession as a pastor, but it does not depend on it. I can still fulfill that purpose to demonstrate that you can be a real dude, a real everyday person, and still have a real genuine heart for God. I can still fulfill that purpose each and every day. Okay, whether I'm a pastor at Midcurrent or whether I'm a janitor at the high school. And in fact, if I'm honest with you, some days I feel like I could fulfill it better as a janitor somewhere or in some other profession. Right, one that that didn't come with a big like heads up I love Jesus name tag, or some other profession that didn't like set off a big flashing alarm system everywhere I went that said alert, alert, pastor entering the room, everyone get awkward and nervous and uncomfortable and act a whole lot differently than you normally do. I mean, seriously, sometimes I envy all of you who can just quietly and consistently and faithfully represent Jesus every day without pressure, without expectation, without warning systems going off wherever you go. I envy you who can just quietly and consistently and faithfully represent Jesus by loving your neighbor well and by cheering your coworkers on with everything inside you and providing the most integrity-filled, people-oriented service, right, that anybody has ever experienced before. See here, maybe more than anything, I don't know, I wish I could go down the line and help everybody piece by piece figure it out. I don't know if I can do that or get incredibly specific with everyone, but maybe my goal is just so much more broad than that. I think my goal is to help us understand as Jesus followers, okay, we are so much more. This is what I want you to understand. As Jesus followers, we are so much more than just a title at work or a job description. See, I remind our volunteers here, if we just kind of looked at Midcurrent as a little, example here, I remind this of our volunteers all the time, that we're so much more than just the job description, right? I remind all the time our team, I say, man, greeters, you're not just door holders, right? You're day makers, quite possibly making the day of someone who's walking into a church for the first time in their life, nervous, out of their mind. You're a day maker. You're not a door holder. Our cafe team, right? You're not in the coffee business. You're in the hospitality business, working to make a church feel a whole lot more like a home. Our AV team, you're not just button pushers, and slide changers, right? They're choreographers. They're mixing sound and light and image and video to usher people seamlessly into the presence of God. Our MC kids, teachers next door, they're not babysitters. They're leadership developers, raising up the next generation of leaders and Jesus followers in the world, right? And the same is true for you in whatever it is that you do, right? Teachers aren't just teaching long division. They're empowering the next generation to be leaders who bring an end to the division that is ravaging our country, right? Hospital nurses, they don't just, you know, they're not just there to show up and give you pain relievers. They have the ability to relieve the fear and the anxiety that you experience sitting in a hospital room all alone. Right? Businessmen and businesswomen, they're not just selling a product, they're developing a relationship with a customer and with a community, right? That people depend on, right? Your vocation, here's what I want you to understand. Your vocation or your career or your day job, it certainly lends itself well, in some cases. It certainly lends itself well to the purpose that God has called you to, but it doesn't depend on it. Career does not inherently determine purpose. And that's where I think we get this mixed up sometimes. I think this is where most people get this wrong. We think that career determines purpose, or we think that income or talent or applause or accolades or success in some particular area of life, well, that determines purpose, right? It kind of backfills for us that when we get all the stuff down the line, well, that determines our purpose, right? But I would suggest that it's the other way around. It's not what results from what we do that determines whether that thing is what God has called us to do. So when you look at back at Paul and Barnabas in this moment of theirs, what you realize is that purpose for them, and I think for us too, what you realize is that purpose is defined and refined by what precedes it. It's not what comes after it. Right? We don't backfill purpose based on all the things that resulted from the things we do to determine then what. No, purpose is defined and it is refined by what precedes it, right? God spoke and he revealed purpose and calling and mission for Paul and for Barnabas, and then they pursued it. And when we get that reversed, that's when I think we get confused. So many of us are talented and we're successful and you're noticed in the world in which you operate and do business, and then you think, well, that's my purpose. Okay? You're going, man, I got all this going. That's my purpose. And then you get confused when you feel a lack of direction, or where you feel a lack of fulfillment, where you feel like something doesn't feel like it's clicking, or where you notice there's some kind of emptiness in you. And I would suggest, because we got this out of order, and I would suggest it's because we're potentially pursuing a purpose, a misguided purpose, or a purpose that just isn't consistent with who God is and who he has created us, who he has created you to be. See, I think much like a parent correcting a child who's misusing a kitchen utensil, right, come alongside them saying, hey, that's not what this is made for. I think God is wanting to get our attention concerning the direction and the purpose of our lives, to say, hey, that might not be what you were made for, right? Real satisfying, fulfilling, world-changing purpose will be consistent with who God is and who God created us to be. I do not think that ultimate purpose is found apart from God. Now, I recognize that some of you say, I disagree. You know, not true. I have found purpose. Some of you here today, maybe joining us online, some of you would say, hey, I have found purpose. I have purpose in my life apart from God. I serve the poor. I heal the sick. I feed the hungry. I volunteer here for this or for that or for that, you know, charity or for that cause. You're going, hey, I have found purpose apart from God. And that's amazing. That's all great stuff. All I would say to you is that your heart beats in those amazing ways, in that commendable way, because you were designed in the image of a God whose heart beats in the very same way. The scripture says, in the image of God, he created male and female. He breathed his very likeness and his very character and his very heart beat into each and every one of us. Friends, no matter which way you slice it, purpose, I think, is most often revealed and defined and refined in the pursuit of and in the presence of God. And so the question then, for the weeks that we have left in this Christmas season, the question is this: how will you pursue God this Christmas? Right? If discovering your purpose is the best gift that you could receive this year, and if discovering purpose, you know, it results from our pursuit of God, how will you pursue God this Christmas? The beauty of Christmas, the beauty of this season, is the reality that God is trying to make it easy for us by sending Jesus from heaven to earth to be Emmanuel, God with us, making it easy for us. So I'd say make this Christmas about one thing, right? Discovering more and more of the heart of God, right? Read scripture. Invest more into a community, whether it's a church or in our neighborhood, of Jesus-loving people. Put your antenna up to be more aware of where God is at work in the world around you, and figure out how to get on board with it. And see if you don't discover the intersection of your heart and the heart of God. Because I think it's at that meeting place that you find purpose. And it doesn't necessarily require a change of career as much as it requires a change of your heart and a change in the target that you hang on the wall each and every day. Friends, if this was the Christmas that you and I discovered a purpose that makes our heart beat more in line with the heart of God, if this was the Christmas that you and I hung a new target or a different target on the wall, I think our lives would be a whole lot more full and a whole lot more satisfying. And I think our world and our communities, you know, and our churches and our neighborhoods, I think they would be a whole lot better off because of it. And so my invitation, my plea to you today is this: would you join me? Right, all of you here today joining online, would you join me in putting purpose on the top of your Christmas wish list this year? I know that I'll be praying that this year is no different than in any other, and that you truly would get what you want and what you truly long for most of all. Let me pray. God, we thank you for this season that we celebrate, God. We give you thanks for light that has come into this world in the person of your Son, Jesus, God. We give you thanks for the gift that he is to this world and to each of us, God. And I know that I'm praying this year, God, I pray that we would live into this season with all the fun traditions and festivities that come along with it, that we would, you know, truly, you know, enjoy the exchanging of gifts and the parties and the friends and the family, God. But I pray that we wouldn't let this season pass us by without doing everything we can to pursue more of you in the midst of this time that we have. God, this time when for whatever reason so many more hearts are open to, are sensitive to, you know, your work in the world and are open to your Son, Jesus, God. So I pray that this might be a season, that this might be the Christmas that we pursue more of you, God, that we commit ourselves to discover more of who you are and more of the way that your heart beats, God, so that we might discover the place where our hearts intersect, God, where they collide in a really beautiful way, to create purpose in our life that would excite us, God, that would get us out of bed every day. God, a purpose that doesn't mean we have to change a career or get a different job, but just a purpose that means we have new marching orders. We have a new target on the end of the wall. God, it doesn't depend on a career. It doesn't depend on a job. It depends on a focus and a trajectory and a posture of our heart toward the world in which we live. God, would you fill each and every one of us here with so much more purpose so that we truly would begin to make an impact wherever we go with everyone that we interact with on an everyday basis. God, thanks so much for your Son, Jesus, who makes all the difference for us. And we give you thanks for the gift that he is to us. And we pray these things in his name. Amen. Hey, we're so glad you could be here with us today, not only as we begin this Christmas season together, but as we celebrate child dedication. Really special day for us to be all together in this place. And we're really excited and would truly love to have you back, whether this is your first time here, your 500th time here. We'd love to have you back here next Sunday for the second week in this series, All I Want for Christmas. Have a great rest of your Sunday and a great week. We'll see you again soon. God bless you.
Thank you for listening to this week's message from Midcurrent Church. Visit us online during the week at midcurrentchurch.org and connect with us on Facebook and Instagram. Also, make plans to join us for Christmas Eve services, December 23rd at 5 p.m. and 7 p.m. at our location at 200 First Street in downtown Hudson.